Peter? Lamb?
Just joined the conference.
Hi, Peter, hello. We're here.
Hey, okay, Peter, well, I'm checking in. I see no public member participation in my location.
Darn, I was hoping 100 people would show up and swamp you.
I'm at 1701 Rockville Pike, Rockville, Maryland. How many people do you have at JN?
We have one so far, but we have other members of the public are calling in.
Oh, okay. So I will be on standby anytime. Anytime the proceeding's ready, I'm on standby.
We will take just a couple of extra minutes because given the technical complexity of the phone system and calling in, we want to make sure that everybody who wants to connect has the opportunity. So we'll convene the meeting in maybe 2 or 3 minutes.
Who is that? It's okay.
I said it's David Weissman.
Oh, hello.
Hello, David.
Good afternoon, David.
Hi.
Hi, Mr. Weissman. I'm Peter Lamb, joining the conference, calling in from Rockville.
Rockville, okay. Who else is on so far?
My name is David Lennon. I'm a consultant to the committee.
Welcome, Dave.
I'm attending a wedding this weekend, and I'm calling in from a hotel in Detroit.
Welcome, Dave.
Furman Wardell here, consultant to the committee.
Okay.
How's everyone?
Welcome, Furman.
Good afternoon, Furman.
So,
hello.
In the room are Per Peterson, I'm Bob Budnitz, and Bob Rathy, who's counsel.
And joined the conference.
And from the committee is Peter Lamb in Rockville, Maryland, calling in. We're in the room in Berkeley. And also our two consultants, David Lennon, just called in, and then Furman, you just called in? Furman Wardell is on the line.
Yes, it is.
So,
yes, Bob, I'm here.
So the Diablo Canyon Committee has our full lineup. Members of the public can identify themselves, but you don't have to, all right? If you don't want to, you don't have to. You can listen in without.
That's correct.
Okay.
And so,
all right.
And we've heard 3 or 4 people that did identify themselves, and that's just fine. But you don't have to.
I would like to identify myself.
Go ahead.
Henrietta Groot. I'm a member of the San Luis Obispo Mothers for Peace.
Very good. Thank you, Henrietta.
Welcome.
Okay, I think...
If I may, I'd like to identify myself as well, Dr. Peterson.
Yes.
I'm John Giesman, an attorney for the Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility, and I'm here in the room in Berkeley with the committee.
Very good. Okay, at this point, I think...
Rob Wellington.
We have Rob Wellington
on. Just joined the conference.
Okay. At this point, I think that we've given enough time for people to call in, so I'd like to start our public meeting by welcoming all of the members of the public who have joined us today either by phone or in person. We're holding a special public meeting today to address a specific topic that had time urgency associated with it, which is the draft report that the DC ISC has performed a technical review of Bechtel Power Corporation's report on alternative cooling technologies or modifications to the existing once-through cooling system for the Diablo Canyon Power Plant. And this was prepared for the California State Water Resources Control Board's Review Committee of Nuclear Fueled Power Plants. So at this point, we have in the room here in Berkeley two of the members of the committee, Bob Budnitz, who is at my left, and myself. We also have Bob Rathy, who is with our counsel for the department.
The conference.
Go ahead.
And then calling in, we have David Lennon, who is a consultant to the committee, and Furman Wardell, who is also a consultant to the committee, as well as Rob Wellington, who is counsel to the committee. I'm also quite pleased that we have AGP Video here with us today, all the way up from San Luis Obispo. And the public meeting is being recorded here in Berkeley, and the recording will be placed onto the committee's website tomorrow. So this time it's not being... Yes, please.
Peter, well, I'm calling in as well.
Very good, Peter. I apologize.
I thought you mentioned
I thought
it. Anyway, if we didn't mention you, we have.
So we have, and with Peter on the line, we have a full quorum for this meeting. So the video will be available, and of course the audio is being distributed live, and we will be taking, we will have time allocated for public comments and communications. Because of the special nature of this meeting, we've reorganized the agenda, so we will have the discussion by the members and consultants of the report, and then follow it with the public comment period. And since many of the people who are joining us today are familiar and have participated in past public meetings of the DCISC, we expect that the public discussion and comment should be quite similar to what we would do at a normal public meeting, even though this one, of course, is somewhat different. So I'd also like to describe a little bit the process by which the committee developed this report, which includes technical review of the Bechtel report. We did it, we sought counsel from our attorneys as to how to do this process in a way that would comply completely with the public meeting laws in the state of California, at the same time that would discharge our responsibility to provide oversight of safety and operational safety for the plant. And given the urgency and timing of our review and being able to submit our review for this report, it was necessary for us to do this in a way that includes this special public meeting. So the original report was drafted and review were performed by our member, Bob Budnitz, and then working with the consultants to the committee, they distributed to us, the other two members, a draft copy of the report for our review and editing, but there was never any communication between the members. Instead, everything that we did was involved work with and review by both the attorneys and the consultants.
And the consultants.
The resulting draft report, as would be the case with a fact-finding report or other report generated by the committee, is after that discussion and potential agreement on modifications to the report, we will vote to either approve or disapprove this report. And hopefully we'll be able to have a finalized version available very soon.
That's correct. I would just add to the chair's remarks that the report was made available on our website, the final draft, I'll call it, on our website yesterday at about 11 a.m. in the morning. So we did try to make the report available to people, the interested people, through the website.
This is Peter Lamb. If I may supplement the chairman's remark, the reason this report was developed in this fashion is to make sure the committee meet the Beckley Keene Open Meeting Act in letters and in spirits. So everything was done appropriately to make sure that statute was complied with.
That's correct. So this is the process by which this draft report has been generated, and it includes both our review and comments on the Bechtel report that I had mentioned previously. So at this point, we will consider the action item, which is to discuss and then approve or disapprove the report.
Or modify, of course.
Or modify to raise with the committee. This will be an opportunity to do that. So I think at this point, I've given the background on how we got to...
Why don't you give a brief background about how the request came to us and what we did before the request and so on. It'll only take a minute or so.
Correct. So, Bob Budnitz has actually been the member of the committee who has taken the responsibility to attend meetings of the California State Water Resources Control Board's Review Committee for nuclear fueled power plants, and also did the initial review of this report. We were asked by the committee to perform a review and to provide comments prior to the work of Bechtel to finalize the report. I should also note that we have limited the scope of our review to be consistent with the charter of the committee, which is to assess the possible impacts based on information in the report of these alternative cooling technologies on the operational safety of the Diablo Canyon plant. And this is the principal area that we've addressed. We've also looked at the question of what would open the floor to members and consultants for discussion. I was hoping that Bob Budnitz might be willing to provide us with a brief summary of the major areas covered in the report and the basis and the conclusions and the basis for those conclusions.
I'll try to see if I can do that. In fact, I'm going to try to do it at two levels. I'm going to do a quick overview of the major points and then one level down, but not get into all the detail. I mean, obviously, that would almost require reading it paragraph by paragraph. And try to then, having said what we said, then we can talk about the rationale. I'm not sure I'm going to get into all the rationale here, because a good deal of it involves the judgment of people like me and Per and Peter, who have been doing this all our lives. So let me just provide the major findings. Well, first, we need to understand the major safety finding in the Bechtel report, the draft Bechtel report that we reviewed, the recent one. The major safety finding is that they have used as their safety criterion for one of the for the seven options that are on the table, that the criterion that they have used is a set of questions. Actually, as I understand it, it came from the State Water Resource Technical Detail to say that for sure. And everybody understands that, and we certainly think that too. But they conclude, based on the information at hand, including the information they've developed and other information they know about, and we agree, that that information, and that's the information we've got. So they conclude that, and that's their basic conclusion, that any one of those seven options, if deployed, could likely meet NRC's regulations. That's not their exact words, but that's the thought. Okay, but they actually conclude something that's stronger than that. They conclude that they can not only that any one of those options can meet NRC's regulations, but they conclude that they can meet it with enough margin and extra confidence that the plant wouldn't even need to put a license amendment into the NRC to amend their license to do this, to do any of those seven changes. That a license amendment request would not be called for. Now, the rules in the NRC's procedures about license amendment requests are contained in Title 10 of the Code of Federal Regulations, Part 5059. Part 50 and then Part 59 of Part 50. And if you meet the criteria in Part 5059 in detail for a change to the plant, then changes that are modest or that don't really involve a huge change in the plant. For example, you've got a main seam isolation valve, and it's failing, and you want to put in a new one of a different model but similar. And you go through an analysis that shows that that doesn't change much, and you can go through the 5059 process, a bunch of questions that you have to ask and answer, and then the NRC reviews that, and if they agree, then you don't have to have a so-called LAR, license amendment request, to make the change in the plan. And that's what that process is intended for. Bechtel concluded that none of these seven options would rise to the level where an LAR would be needed, because Bechtel concluded that all of the various criteria in there would be met on the one side rather than on the other side that set of decision criteria. And that's even a stronger conclusion than they can get a license for this. They wouldn't even need to apply for one. Of course, the NRC, remember, would review their findings in 5059 before saying, yeah, you can go ahead even without it. Even without a license amendment request. Well, we looked at that, and we don't agree with that conclusion, and we'll explain why in a minute. But crucially, we have looked at the options themselves, and our bottom line is we don't have enough information to know for sure that they will meet NRC. Five of them, and perhaps six of the seven, that they're going to need a license amendment request, and then a whole review process, which is much more complex than the simple one that Bechtel thinks they can get away with, and we don't think that. But nevertheless, our bottom line conclusion is, vis-a-vis the NRC, that we also think that when the whole thing is designed in detail and the whole thing has gone through a various review, that it's likely that any one of those seven options could meet NRC's regulations. Okay. Mm-hmm. However, and this is the however, that's not our criterion. The Diablo Canyon Independent Safety Committee has not generally, and this goes back a couple of decades, used the NRC's regulatory safety criteria as identical to our safety criteria. We think they're necessary, you bet. Something doesn't meet that, that's not good. And we don't think we'd like it. And we probably for sure wouldn't approve it. But the fact that something meets it isn't adequate for us. And I need to explain just briefly what our criterion is. But before I do, I have to explain something else. I want you to imagine that the current system meets NRC's regulations, which it does. Of course it does. It wouldn't be running if it didn't. And that option, I'm just going to say option X, it's one of the seven, also meets it, but representative used in judging this set of options is to ask the question whether, if one of them were installed, whichever the seven, whether when they're done, the same approximate level of safety is achieved by the new scheme as by the existing scheme. And if that's so, then we too would find it acceptable, and if it isn't, we wouldn't. So we have a different criterion, and I think that's appropriate. If you don't mind my saying, we're here as experts appointed by state officials in California to report about the safety and to judge about the safety for the citizens of California. And I don't think the citizens of California would be very happy if an option were put in that met the regs but was an important degradation in safety. And I can tell you the three of us aren't. I mean, this report says so, and we've all sort of agreed with it now. I mean, we're going to talk about it here, but that's the thrust. And I hope every member of the public understands that that's the criterion that we're bringing to it. So that's the overview in which we've of our thinking and what we wrote. Now, just to play it back, there isn't enough information, and there won't be for a while, even if one of the options is selected by the State Water Resources Control Board or PG&E, some combination of however that's selected, there isn't going to be enough information for a while as to whether or not our criterion is going to be met. In fact, there isn't even going to meet NRC's regulations. And that's very easy to explain. Let's take the several cooling tower options. There are five different ones laid out, and they're different. But every one of those has been deployed around the country and around the world. In some cases, there are lots of them, a whole lot of cooling towers out there, and dozens of them in the U.S., and, of course, around the world, hundreds. And we are familiar with them. That's one of the things that we know about. And we don't see how, if they do it right, any of those options wouldn't meet NRC's regulations. After all, if you don't mind my saying, one of the plants in California, Rancho Seco, closed now, had cooling towers, and it met NRC's regulations, and we know that those technologies exist and that they can work. By the way, you have to do it right. But we are sure, in our sort of bones, that if they do it right, it'll be okay. I mean, you know, the devil's in the details, but we don't think that that's going to be, in the end, a fatal flaw or a stumbling block in the way of this if you do it right. And, of course, doing it right means you have to be diligent about X, Y, Z, A, B, and C, which we can get into, but at least that's a point. That's only one of the things that support us. The second thing is that if you look at the details at Diablo Canyon, as opposed to they've been deployed all over the world, and you study how these things are... I came to that finding early on. Bechtel agreed. I don't think that we're going to have much controversy about that here. Okay? Now, let's talk about why, for a moment, an option might meet NRC's regulations, but still represent a degradation in safety. And that's an important thing for members of the public to understand, and I'm going to try to explain it in my words, and the other members of the committee can chime in with their additional thinking or maybe different perspectives, and, of course, the consultants, too. But it's easy to try to explain this to a nuclear engineer, but I'll try to explain it. Some of this in the draft report you have was written by me. Try to explain it for a layman. Let's describe what worries us as nuclear engineers. What worries us as nuclear engineers is that some upset condition could arise that would lead to a large accident, an accident in which the cooling is lost to the core, and the core melts, and then you get real trouble. And of course, that's the accident we all worry about. And that accident is to be avoided at all cost. I really mean at all cost. There's nothing to stand in the way of whatever you have to do to avoid that. And if the plant can't avoid that with some, very, very low likelihood, then a whole lot of waste heat. About two-thirds of the heat generated in the chain reaction goes into waste heat, and only one-third goes to the steam that drives the turbine that makes electricity. Roughly two-thirds, one-third. It's not exactly, but that's the point. And that two-thirds has to be discharged to somewhere in the environment, and every plant discharges it to the environment differently. At Diablo Canyon, it's some of it's discharged to the atmosphere a little bit, but it's almost all discharged to the ocean. And each of these schemes changes the way that ultimate discharge to the environment is accomplished. For two of them, it remains discharged to the ocean, but with a different scheme. And for the other five, the discharge is actually through cooling towers into the atmosphere. Okay? And each of those represents a challenge to design it right so that the safety is not impacted. And now I have to back up and describe that. Okay? Among the accidents that we worry about are accidents in which that heat removal system is upset. And when it's upset, it doesn't function properly. In fact, a very terrible accident would be a long-term disruption of that path to the environment over the very, very long term. If you can't discharge that heat, you're going to get in trouble, and the core is going to get in trouble. So we worry that there's a challenge. How do we analyze these? Well, the way analysts, safety analysts like me and Per and Peter, do this analysis is we, it's not exactly like this, this would be sort of stylized. We are the community we're in, sits down and tries to write down every accident sequence we can imagine that might happen to the plant. Every accident sequence that might happen. And for each one of those, we do an analysis about this happens and then that happens and this other happens and that other happens, and finally you get in trouble if it's an accident sequence. And some of the things that happen might be human error, some of them might be an equipment failure. Some of them might be an external hazard, like, you know, a lightning bolt or an earthquake. And some of them might even be a malevolent act, although we're not dealing with that here. That's not what we're dealing with here, but you can imagine that would lead to a release also. A malevolent act by an outsider or maybe an inside employee thing. But that last we're not dealing with. But those are accident sequences too. So we analyze all of those. Most of the accident sequences that we worry about in these plants do not involve an interruption of this function of heat removal. Most of them don't, but a few of them do. And we're here to be concerned about those few that do. So now let me back up. At Diablo Canyon, as it's currently, there's always some risk of these plants, even if they're really quite safe, because there's no such thing as zero risk. And we try to analyze that residual risk and say, what are the important things that comprise that residual risk? And if you look at the important things that comprise that residual risk as exemplified in various deterministic engineering studies and exemplified in the probabilistic safety assessment and so on, the interruption of this function is not an important contributor to the risk today as it sits out there. And we sure want to make sure that if a change to one of these other seven options were to take place, that that remains true. We would be very unhappy and would give a negative safety assessment to an option if, after the design is done and when the analysis is done, and then you look carefully at it, those sorts of accidents are suddenly important contributors rather than as they are now. They're possible, but they're very unlikely and they don't have big consequences most of the time, and we're happy with that, and we don't want that to be changed. So that's our criterion, okay? It's simple enough to explain. Of course.
May I interrupt at this moment?
Go ahead, Peter.
And additional comment to what you just said. Peter Lamb.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, everything what Dr. Bunner said is absolutely correct. The Diablo Canyon plant, as constructed, it's very important that we want to make sure the new configurations, if it were to be installed, does not change the observation for the existing equipment.
Yes, sir. You said it very nicely.
For
the safety related stuff. Let me go on, okay? So the question is, well, how can we judge that? Okay? And what we said in here is that we've already made the judgment that it's likely that they can meet NRC regulations. We've said in plain English that we're worried that something that can meet NRC regulations still might have this degradation. And if that's so, we would give it a negative rating, even though the NRC might say it meets their regs. So how are we going to figure that out? Well, the fact is, today we don't have enough information, and therefore we can't know We believe, well, I said, I wrote in here, and I hope that those words are still, I think they're in there, that we don't know that now. And we actually don't believe that anybody knows that now, because that analysis hasn't been done by anybody. I spoke informally to the Bechtel people in Sacramento 3 weeks ago, and they concur, no, that analysis hasn't been done by anybody, and there are two reasons. The first is because there's not enough detail, okay? But that's not the only reason. It's because even an analyst hasn't missed something. So there's a lot of work to be done before this assurance could be had, and I want to say that the two reasons why it hasn't been done, first of all, we don't have it now because there isn't enough detail, but even if there was enough detail, the work hadn't been done. So I guess what we're coming out and saying is that while we are willing to say that they can likely meet NRC regulations, we're agnostic yet, we just don't know. And we want to wait and see whether the detail provides the assurance we seek, and if it does, great, and if it doesn't, we're going to say so, quite separate from whether it meets NRC regulations, which we kind of think it will. Is that a fair fair kind of assessment? Now, there's more in here than this, and there's just one other thing I want to say, and then I'll leave it up to others, and that's a paragraph in here about the post-Fukushima changes that we expect are coming to all of our plants, and actually, I'm not sure that that paragraph belongs in here because it's not directly on the subject, but it's related. And let me describe, okay? After the Fukushima accident, which was in March of 2011, so it was 2.5 years ago, the NRC went about a study of the lessons learned, and they have the vendors and the utilities and the Nuclear Energy Institute and Electric Power Research Institute, the industry as a whole, got together, and they too tried to understand what lessons there were. And they've come up with a proposal, which the NRC has actually endorsed in general, but the details are still to follow, which is called FLEX. FLEX is not it's not short for flexible or something. It's just the name of something. The FLEX system is a system of safety improvements still to be determined plant by plant, but its ultimate objective is the following three things, and I'll just try to explain it briefly, and you can read about FLEX in one of the reports that is referred to here. The FLEX system is intended by the utilities to provide even higher assurance than they have now, and we have now, that three sorts of accidents won't get you in trouble. One of them is a very extended loss of offsite power. The second is a very extended loss of onsite power, what we call a station blackout. And the third is a long extended loss of the ultimate heat sink. Okay? And the various FLEX equipment strategies that will be deployed, we expect, all around the country are going to address all three of those. Well, one of those is our issue. It's the ultimate heat sink. Uh-huh. And I want to insist, than they have now, that interruptions of that function will be unlikely or can be mitigated without important consequences. So it seems to me, although this is only my personal view and the others haven't necessarily endorsed it, we need to talk about it, that the point of comparison for any new system is not what we have now, but what we have now plus the FLEX, because it's going in. It involves various sorts of equipment that haven't been designed in detail. We understand them in outline. We've had a briefing at the last two public meetings about it. We've had a fact-finding about it in the last two or three fact-findings. We're looking at this carefully. The plan itself is still trying to figure out what the details will be, and the details really matter. But for sure, the FLEX is going in some form, and the plant's going to be safer. And I believe that the safety comparison oughtn't be with what's out there now, but what's out there now after the FLEX is in, because that's going to be the scheme, absent any change, that'll be the safety profile of the plant 5 years from now and 10 years from now, or whenever you know, or if the license is renewed, even more. So I think that if a new scheme is to be deployed, it'll have the FLEX stuff too that will match it, that ought to be the figure of merit. However, I wrote that paragraph in here, and I got back, I haven't consulted members to discuss as to whether we want to include that as our point of comparison. Okay, so that's the last thing I have to say. All right. Okay. That took, I don't know, it took longer than it should have. I don't care. It took as long as I felt like.
Okay. Thank you, Bob. That actually, I think that level of detail and background on what is the foundation and basis behind the report which has been subsequently modified, but with comments from Peter and
myself. By
the way,
I didn't talk about trips and stuff, which you can throw.
Which I do, so I'm going to come to the set of issues that I thought also were high on my list. But first, I'd invite Peter, or would you like to jump in, or I can give some comments, and then we'll turn things over to our consultants.
Sure. May I just put in a brief remark, Mr.
Yes,
Chairman?
Yes, please.
Okay. You know, I like to express my personal appreciation for Dr. Butner's doing the heavy lifting in doing this review. You know, for some reason, the Chairman and I were engaged, you know, in some other activity.
Peter, Peter, I was really engaged too.
My major reaction can be summarized very briefly. One, I think, you know, at this point in time, it's just too early to talk about that. And one reason I want to emphasize that, I want to make sure that factual conclusion would not be misconstrued as a very positive endorsement of any one of these options for the able candidates. As everybody is well aware, the devil is in the details. You know, conceptually, any one of the seven would do very well because they have been deployed elsewhere. But when you are talking about changing it on the existing facility, we really need to see in detail. Therefore, in the report, you will see two separate statements inserted in there by me, saying any one of these options, if and when they are designed, manufacture, install, and maintain according to established safety practices may be acceptable. I mean, to me, and that is the key. I mean, it's really premature for the committee to endorse any one of these options without knowing more about the detail.
Peter,
okay, I'm back.
That's an excellent observation. Just to note on this question of the likelihood of a license amendment or tour to make that judgment, and that in fact at least one of the options requires a new safety related system, that obviously then kicks
for
you
sure.
into the
sure.
the license amendment request. My thoughts are actually mirror both in particular Peter's comments, which is that well in concept these different technologies can likely be made to work. The details are going to be extraordinarily important, and particularly in backfitting to an existing facility where you have to change the pressure rating of condensers and circulating water pipes, you have to remove buildings and facilities, you have to evaluate flooding risks in a turbine building which inadvertently had safety-related equipment put into it, emergency diesel generators, and safety-grade electrical switchgear, that there's an enormous amount of engineering that needs to be done to verify lack of coupling and lack of impact on the safety system performance in the plant. This is something that can only be done once one has far more detailed information about the system design than quite reasonably exists today. The next period of time.
Well, that changes very
much. And interrupting auxiliary salt water in order to make changes to the plant would then impact the ability to cool the spent fuel pool, which is where likely all of the fuel in the plant would be placed on a temporary basis.
Well, it has to be because it can't go anywhere else if it's short-term stuff, right?
So we recognize that one needs essentially a detailed time motion study for the construction process and plant modifications if one's going to then be able to assess potential impacts on safety-related equipment and safety functions during the construction process. The final area which requires detailed assessment for any of these concepts before one would want to move forward with implementing them is a careful assessment of the reliability of the circulating water function that system would have as compared to the current system. And while the circulating water system is not safety related, it is one of the more important non-safety related systems in the plant. And its reliability is something that is taken very, very seriously by this committee and by safety experts. because when you have an interruption of the circulating water function, and this occurred at the plant actually, that they built up a layer of the salp onto the intake screens, causing sufficient pressure drop that the pumps had to be shut off. Now, the reason that the a outage of the circulating water system is one that we take very seriously is that when you then trip the turbines, because the condenser back pressure goes up, and then you cannot take steam into the turbines, and so you trip the reactor.
Right.
There is a period of time when it's crucial to continue to remove a substantial amount of heat from the primary system to keep the peak pressures and temperatures that are reached during this transient within acceptable limits. Now, to do that under a normal plant trip, one dumps steam through valves that open from the steam generator so that you can continue to discharge steam and remove heat. Some of those steam dumps vent directly to the atmosphere, but about 30 to 40% of that steam under a normal plant trip goes into the condenser.
Right.
Well, if you've lost circulating water, the condenser is no longer a functional heat sink.
Wait, or if you haven't lost it all, but you have a compromise of it, then there's less margin in those things.
That's correct. And so because of them is driven to or increase, they're still substantially, they're still within design limits, but this is the sort of thing that you just don't like to have happen. And in thinking about
right.
an analogy that would
it's a good analogy.
Would explain why it is that we really don't like to see that kind of transient happen, it can be compared to stopping an automobile. Automobiles have braking systems, and every now and then we have to stop, sometimes fairly abruptly. But in the case of this type of plant trip, it's like smoking tires, skid marks, and the smell of burned rubber after you're done. It's one of those types of one of those ways of stopping the plant, which afterwards you spend a lot of time figuring out why it happened and try to make sure it never happens again for that reason, as with the salp, and as with, in fact, what we strongly endorse, which is Diablo Canyon's practice during the winter, if there are is that if there's going to be heavy weather that can tear up kelp, then Diablo Canyon has a practice of reducing the operating power of the reactors so that if they are forced to trip, they do not need that extra capacity from the condenser.
Right.
So this is one reason why, in my judgment, and I think the committee and the with the new system, because that would increase the frequency of this type of trip. And these are severe trips. Well, they're unlikely to cause accidents. They're one of the ones that we worry about the most as being a potential precursor.
Yeah, so I guess I have something to add to that having to do with what you called safety related. In the NRC's regulatory scheme, most of the stuff inside the reactor is designated safety related. That's a term. It's a specific regulatory term. A safety-related item has certain quality requirements associated with it in its manufacture, in its installation, in its maintenance, in its inspection, in its tests, and so on. And which we not only like but insist on. And it's treated differently than the rest of the plant, which is so-called non-safety-related, which is known as the balance of plant. The classic example of a non-safety-related system is the turbine. Turbine's not safety-related in the way we think of things because turbines can trip, and we have safety-related systems that assure that when they do or have, get into trouble, that things can be maintained in a safe way. But, and this is an important but, there are numerous employers know about them, and they design the plant, and we, safety analysts and reviewers, look at it and assure that it's so. So that if one of those non-safety-related things happens, a degradation, that the plant can still maintain its maintain a safe configuration and shut down. Okay, now this is an example of one of those. That is, we're discussing here the possibility that a non-safety-related system or set of systems could, through failures and interactions, affect the plant in a way that would be undesirable. Now we know it can happen. So we're asking for either an analysis that shows that it's very unlikely, because even things that can happen that are very unlikely, we tend to not worry about so much as things that are more likely, or that if it does happen, its consequences can be managed by other engineered systems. Mm-hmm. And the thing that Per was just speaking of was an example of, well, yes, it can be coped with by other engineered systems, and we are not only happy about that, we insist they're there. We, the community of people, I'm not talking not as a member of the DCIC, but as a community of safety people. But the community is unhappy if you didn't have the stress. And so we are very zealous about trying to preserve the safety margins in the plants that are out there. We are very, very unhappy when safety margins are eroded in any of the different areas, and we're concerned that this sort of thing can be like that. Now, I just have one other thing that it's historical. This is not on the point, but I think it's a perfect example. People out in a world of laymen perhaps don't understand that the accident at Three Mile Island in 1979 started, it was a feedwater transient, an aux feedwater transient, and an aux feedwater in PWRs is not a safety system. Okay? Oddly, it's not a safety system because it's designed to get in trouble and this other stuff comes in. But in fact, it was a feedwater transient of that kind, which because of this, led to an accident that of course shouldn't have happened. And part of this at Three Mile Island was the operators misconstrued what was going on and they took actions which, had they known better, they wouldn't have. But that's an example of you wish you didn't get into that trouble. And if they hadn't had the feedwater transient, they wouldn't have gotten into that trouble. So you never know, which is why we want to have as few of those as possible. And I think Paris just
done a good job in the report of identifying and doing at the conceptual design level a sufficient assessment of the seven options that we understand how they could work, but that a lot more engineering design work is needed to reach the point where one could assess these options well enough to verify that they would have, that they could be constructible, and that they would have appropriate level of reliability and operation, that they would not end up causing the frequency of plant trips in the Diablo Canyon station to increase significantly.
Oh, well, you know, maybe I differ with you here, and it's worth exploring. I am firmly of the opinion that any of these systems can be made safe enough to meet our criteria if enough effort is done at analysis to identify the places where they might not and then fix them.
Right. And
okay. But what worries me is complexity makes it hard to do that analysis, and it makes it more likely then, if it isn't complex, that you'll miss something or that something will come around that you didn't think was likely and it turns out to be more likely. And so I actually am of the opinion that for sure that...
At this point, also, Furman and David, both of you also contributed significantly. So do you have thoughts to add with respect to the report and our findings and recommendations?
This is Furman Wardell, consultant. Thank you, Pierre. I thought the three members had an excellent presentation, very understandable.
Furman, where are you now?
I agree with all of it.
Furman, where are you now? Where are you now?
I'm at home.
Oh, you're in Charlotte.
Yes.
Okay, he's in Charlotte, North Carolina.
And basically, I've been involved in the review process and had all of my comments resolved, and I'm happy with the report of the way it's written.
This is Dave Lennon. I feel the same way. I'm calling from Detroit, here for a wedding. And I submitted a few comments, and I felt they were appropriately addressed, and I'm satisfied with the report.
Very good. I would actually echo that conclusion myself. I thought that the first thing was I'm grateful that our council was able to design a process by which we could produce this report. Actually, should be a helpful and valuable contribution to Bechtel and to the California State Water Resources Board. I'm at this point also, based on our discussion, willing to entertain a motion to approve the report, absent additional discussion.
I think it's premature. I'd like to hear if any members of the public have comments before we do that, because they may be able to provide a perspective that would help me before we do that.
That is an excellent point.
But I want to say something before that. Okay. In having participated in writing this, one of the things I was trying to figure out, and I have been unable to figure out, is what is the State Water Resources Control Board's Nuclear Review Committee and the board itself going to do with what we wrote? Okay, that is, it's going to land on their desk soon,
mm-hmm.
either.
Mm-hmm.
So easier as it is, or we might modify it a little bit, but something like that. And I don't actually know what they're going to do with this, but I'm trying to figure out whether I care.
Of course.
How's that?
I would say that I care. As is the case on that specific point, as is the case with all of our, and I would expect that. I think one of the things that we missed was the question of approving the cover letter that goes, but I think that it's reasonable for us to request some type of written response to the report. It can be short, but just at a minimum to acknowledge the receipt, but also there's any actions that will be taken based on the report to know about what they are.
All right, well, look, I went through the whole darn thing and saw where there was a place that we made a recommendation or two or three. And there, you can find it all over the place, but it's always the same recommendation. The second to the last bullet under our final finding says it. Crucially, more analysis is needed. That's what it says. Okay? We say that different ways, in different contexts, but it comes down to saying that more analysis is needed. Now, first, more analysis is needed with the detail we have in hand, and then later on, more detail is needed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But even with the detail we have in hand, meaning what Bechtel's done so far, more analysis is needed. Mm-hmm. And we say that, and I think that I didn't see any other place, any other thought along the lines of what we didn't say it's a recommendation, but it is, that was different than more analysis is needed, besides saying that more detail is getting this, because we're appointed by state officials, and this is to be read by the State Water Resources Control Board, but frankly, it's to be read by the citizens of California.
Yeah. Correct. I would point out...
Then can do what they want with it.
Okay, Bob Rathy.
I would just quickly point out that we had reviewed this issue in some detail in our annual reports.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It wasn't just State Water Resources Board that we took this on. When we became aware of it, it was addressed in our annual reports.
Thank you.
And this, indeed, will be part of our annual report process
thank
as well.
You. Right. Thank you.
So as with the other... recommendations that we make, and particularly those where we make recommendations to PG&E about action, if there is no response, or if we think the response is inadequate, then it's my job to go talk to representatives of the governor and for me
the Attorney General and so on.
And then the California Energy Commission, and at least let them know that we have concerns about things that relate to the operational safety of the plant that we don't feel are being fully addressed.
Right.
But I don't expect us to get to that point. But what I recommend is that we do modify or review and modify the letter just to ask for...
I understand why you might. But let's talk together about what we might write in the cover letter about...
May I suggest... I think this report was developed in an extraordinary tight schedule.
Yeah.
I would like to see an emphasis be made in our cover letter. I say this is really extraordinary effort. You know, the committee usually doesn't respond. You know, in this tight schedule. I mean, how much time do we have? We have about 2 weeks.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, it's worse than that. I was working full time during that time.
Need to be made there. Then we have now, you know, in the significant resources in our, and just, you know, give this issue out and the attention for, I mean, very, very quickly. I mean, that perhaps can provide incentive for them to at least provide us an answer as to what they're going to do with it.
Counsel, was the cover letter on the website too?
No, the cover letter's not been on the website.
All right,
no.
By the way, just to tell members of the public, the cover letter is a transmittal letter. It doesn't have any doesn't have any new substance.
Correct.
But you're suggesting
the initial help in developing the draft of this letter. What I would like to propose is that we delegate to counsel the revision of the letter to implement these changes that we've requested. And contingent upon that.
And they are that you would like to say, please acknowledge receipt.
And any actions that might follow.
And following actions. Please advise.
Please inform us of any
actions. Inform and advise us of any follow-up actions.
Okay, that's fair. That's okay.
And then also to express our appreciation. Well, I think we already expressed appreciation for being engaged in the process and allowed to review a draft of the report prior to the development of the final report.
Yeah.
Now, at this point, though, I would note that Bob Budnitz has proposed that we modify our agenda and defer the committee's vote on approval of the report until we've heard public comment
on that subject.
On this subject.
Yeah, you bet.
So with
other subjects come up later.
I think that actually is an excellent suggestion, sure. Particularly given the fact that this is an important topic.
And not only that, but members of the public have taken the time to come and participate with us.
Correct.
The least we can do, I think, is hear what they might, what their reactions might be.
So with that thought in mind,
if there aren't any
as
time.
The chair, I'm going to defer our action to vote and instead open the floor for public comment and questions. No action will be taken by the committee on matters brought under this item, but may be referred to staff for further study, response, or action. I think the rest of it is just additional notes that are available in the public meeting and teleconference agenda. So with that thought in mind, I'd like to open both the floor and the phone lines for public comments. And since it's not quite like it is in a meeting where I can see somebody raising their hand, please just go ahead and speak up, and maybe we can start in the room and then move to the phone line.
Thank you,
Doug Peters.
Hold it. Oh no, I have him.
Good. We're good. Okay.
All set.
You don't have to identify.
I was hoping you might start on the phone, but
you can.
I'm John Giesman, an attorney representing the Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility, and I want to compliment the committee on responding as quickly as you have to the Water Board's advisory committee.
Mr. Giesman, you're cutting out. It's hard to hear you.
Okay. You'll have to, sir, the microphone's not necessary. If you could just speak up clearly and loudly, please. The Dr. Budnitz has made. I know he's been in attendance at a couple of the advisory committee meetings, and they make your sessions look as if they are models of brevity and succinctness. I have no quarrel.
That's an odd comment.
I have no quarrel with the content of your report. I have a couple of questions that I'd like to ask or points that I'd like to raise. Mm-hmm. The first and probably easiest is, as I understand both the text and your comments here today, there is nothing generically wrong with any of the seven options identified by Bechtel that, in the committee's view, you believe would degrade the safety of the Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant. I appreciate that the devil is in the details.
You mean intrinsically, sort of.
Intrinsically.
That's a fair paraphrase, I think, of speaking for myself.
Right, because particularly noting that the technologies have been deployed successfully elsewhere, that would give one confidence that would...
Secondly,
and I think we said that. Mm-hmm.
This is a little more difficult for me to express. My client shares your belief in the importance of the license amendment request process, mm-hmm. And I would commend you for vitiating that in your report, at the same time, you're juxtaposing your views on this subject with those that have been expressed by Bechtel. And Bechtel probably has more experience in this area with the NRC's license amendment request process than virtually any other firm in the world. And what strikes me, Dr. Budnitz, you will recall our interaction at your last meeting of the safety committee. In the area of the seismic design basis and our discussion at your last meeting of when a license amendment would be required in the wake of the shoreline fault report, you were quite reluctant to venture into that area. And if I may paraphrase, you expressed the view that you used to venture into this question of whether a license amendment request would be compelled.
Right, that's fair.
What's different in this circumstance that motivates you and the committee to have such a strong view?
Oh, it's that Bechtel took a strong stand and we didn't agree with it.
So in this particular case,
Bechtel said
when it comes to the offshore modular wedge wire option, Bechtel is clearly incorrect, because to make that work, they propose the need for a new safety-related gate, because, of course, if the modular wedge wire system were to fail, then the problem would be that now your aux salt water is the inlet is closed and
stranded.
You can't get water.
It's stranded.
So the description of the design includes a new safety-related system to be installed that would allow you to open up the inlet. And as soon as you add a new safety system, then a license amendment request is obviously required.
And a new analysis in the FSARU.
Right. So for that one option, we know unambiguously that Bechtel was not correct in their assessment that none of the options. We don't know for sure what NRC would decide with respect to that area. And whether they would require a license amendment request. But the main point is that because Bechtel was clearly and ambiguously in error with at least one of these, I would say that it is quite possible that they may be incorrect on some of the other ones as well.
Thank you very much.
In my mind, even if there's no safety system involved, just building two cooling towers on site, you know, that project alone would merit a license amendment request. And in my mind, I'm not even sure there may not be a public hearing.
Oh, Peter, I saw it differently. Although I think we end up in the same place. I know the history of 5059. You do too. Mm-hmm. It was intended for changing X to Y. Like I said, you have a pump that failed, and you can't buy a new one that's like it, so you got to buy a different pump from a different vendor, and you do an analysis that shows that that they're equivalent. It's for to make some small change. You don't have to do that every time. You just have to do analysis that shows
that
they make a difference. It just didn't seem it didn't sit right.
There is another dimension to this, which is that in some sense. Reaching judgment about whether or not license amendment requests would be needed falls somewhat outside the scope.
Yes, it does.
Of what Diablo Canyon Independent Safety Committee is required to do, because we don't enforce NRC regulation. We assess the operational safety of the plant. But the I think one of the reasons, at least, that I wanted to have at least some discussion about this in that report is that given that at least one of the options, there's clearly something incorrect in terms of the assessment, I wanted to make sure that the State Water Resources Control Board is alerted to the fact that this is something that needs to be reviewed, because indeed a license amendment request is probably going to be needed.
Yeah.
Well,
I agree.
My client agrees with the report's perspective on this, and I thank you for the emphasis that you've brought to it.
Yeah, by the way, I can comment about something you said 5 minutes ago about the shoreline fault. And I remember the colloquy perfectly well, and it's on the record. This is a verification project of the plan to try to reconstruct that, write it down, and get NRC to agree with it, and then we'll all know what it is. And so that was part of why I was not only reluctant but unable to tell you or anybody else whether or not the plant met it. But I did say that separate from whether or not it met it, I said then, and I'll say again, I'm convinced that the seismic adequacy of the station as it sits is okay. Excuse me, it's adequate. It's adequately safe because of a different analysis that isn't based on the license, based on the design basis. It's a separate analysis, which I could, of course, point to, and it's in document. So, but here, see, it's a different thing. There, we've got a lot of evidence, having analyzed that design in gory detail, as to how it'll perform. And therefore, I can reach a judgment personally, and I somehow convince the others to agree with me, which is good, about the safety of the station in that seismic area. But here, it's just the opposite. We don't have enough. It's just the opposite. Boy, we certainly don't have enough detail.
At this point,
anybody else?
We'd like to open the floor to the phones for public comment. Please just announce your name and where you happen to be as a member of the public, and then.
No
apologies.
I have my flight delayed for several hours,
I am sitting
in my living room, and not happy that you're not here. By the way, I think all meetings should be held in San Luis Obispo, but let's get to issues.
Okay. Thank you.
I also sit on the Once Through Cooling Oversight Committee. I am not speaking for the committee as I'm giving you my comments, except for one thing. You said you didn't know what would happen with your report when it went to the committee.
Yeah, well,
I'd like you to know that the committee asked for your input and would very much appreciate your input, and I'm listening with great admiration for all the work you've done in a very short period of time. So
thank
you for doing that. I very much appreciate it. And the committee has a habit of responding to people, maybe not in detail, but we always let people know that we have received their comments and appreciate their comments, especially from the safety committee. So thank you very much. I'd like you to frame this report in terms of comments and recommendations. You were asked for your comments and recommendations, and a report is somewhat different. So I think if you said these are your comments and your recommendations, it would be more accurate to have to pay for this and process. The process should have been in San Luis Obispo, as I said, and every time I hear license amendment requests, this is very complex, and so on and so forth, I see that this is probably going to be a great deal of money that someone is going to ask ratepayers to spend, and that worries me. And lastly, you have readily admitted that you really have no authority over this nuclear power plant, which is how the committee was set up in the 1980s, and I was a part of that as well. And if the NRC doesn't agree with you, and you feel very strongly about this, I do think that you should petition California Public Utilities Commission, who created this safety committee, to actually testify on your comments and your recommendations if they are not adhered to, because all of these things are going to end up out of my pocket, and I would like to have you with a voice in the room.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
This is Bob Buttons. That's very helpful. I just want to comment about why the meeting is not in the San Luis Obispo County. We had no time to set this up. The whole thing, request came to us only just 3 weeks ago. And unlike the...
I apologize also, and certainly we don't want to establish a precedent. Whenever it is logistically possible, if we have a public meeting, special public meeting, we'll attempt to hold it in San Luis Obispo.
I mean,
had a 10-day publication notice for the meeting as well to meet, so...
Yeah, by the way, part of the problem was if we had last Friday or Thursday would have been too soon. We were still working like beavers, and Monday was Labor Day, and yesterday I had a firm commitment I couldn't do, And there was no way I could fly to San Luis Obispo today because I got something I just had to do. So, you know, it's one of those things.
There was no way I could fly to San Francisco.
No, we understand. Actually, for you, but other members of the public. Just understand. And short notice, it's hard. Okay.
Yeah, if we tried to fly, maybe we would have been in the same situation. So, okay. Let me open the floor again for additional public comment on the phone line.
Anybody else?
Henrietta Groot.
Henriette, please, you have the phone line.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm at home in Los Osos. I would have been at your meeting if I could have been.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. This is a question probably way out of left field. Who pays for all of this, and who assumes...
Henrietta, is who would pay for this if it were implemented?
Right. This would be a question that falls outside the... charter of the committee to comment on, also the economic analysis that is in that, well, actually is not in the report, but will be added to the report, is also something that we've explicitly pointed out is outside the scope. And frankly, for me, it would be purely speculation to even figure out how this gets paid for.
I don't have any idea.
I don't know what would be the process and requirements and such for making these kinds of modifications. I guess I would assume that I don't have a way to answer your question, even if it was within the scope of things that we were studying for the report.
I think that even though it's completely outside our myth, that we sort of assume that it would be ordered by, and therefore in the rate base.
My question also implies, if something goes wrong, mm-hmm. who pays? Who is liable?
But that's true. Yeah, that question is the same answer as at the plant today. There's a complex chain of liability.
For the good job you have done, but I'm sorry you cannot answer that question.
Well, I could, which I can't.
Right. So there's another part to this, which is from the perspective of the technical question of whether these modifications could result in degraded performance or reliability or safety problems at the plant. We have a very high-level conclusion that these changes probably could be implemented, but if any of these options is something that is actually moved forward on to the point of performing engineering and design analysis and developing detailed design, then that entire process would be something that this committee would follow very, very closely. Because of the clear linkages to operational safety and reliability that would exist, so whatever emerges out of this, the independent safety committee will remain very closely engaged, particularly around reviewing questions related to impact on safety systems, impact on safety during construction, and impact on the operational reliability and frequency of plant trips, particularly circulating water plant trips. Which would have an indirect impact on safety by essentially providing more frequent potential initiators for accidents. So we don't have enough information currently.
No, thank you. Yeah.
I said we didn't mention verbally something that's in the report, which is that among the seven options are options that would require more fresh water than is readily available at the site, and therefore would require a desalinization plant to be built in order to provide that water. And the storage in that, from that, as we understood it from the Bechtel report, would produce about 2 hours worth of water. And if you ran out of that, you'd have to trip the plant. And we were concerned that was an option, which quite separate from the cost of desalization, that only having a couple hours of water before you have to trip the plant didn't seem to us that had nearly as much margin as what we got out there now. We got a great big ocean. And that's just an example of margin having been eroded that concerned us. Okay.
Hi, my name's David Nelson. I'm in Morro Bay, California.
Welcome.
And I want to thank you for the report that you've produced. I do have to echo Ms. Becker's concern about meetings being held outside of our county. I would have loved to attend at the meeting in person, but I'm on the phone.
We agree.
And my problem with it is that knowing the damage that once through cooling And, you know, you can do these reports on the existing cooling system and come up with a lot of problems with the existing cooling system also. You just got to keep in mind the damage that once through cooling is doing over in that canyon that was previously not disclosed on their original permits for the plant. I mean, the degradation from the outfall from the cooling system is monumental out there. So, you know, you have to keep these things in mind as you're evaluating an alternative cooling system, which, frankly, I hope will never even be needed, and the thing should be shut down in light of Fukushima. We have three of these things smoldering just west of us. So, you know, I think, you know, these meetings are great for public relations, but in reality, neither cooling system should be in operation. And that's my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that comment. I would note that there is the possibility that these alternate cooling technologies may have options that could be more reliable than the existing.
I agree.
It is a possibility.
Totally agree.
Oh, I would. For example, the offshore
modular wedge wire system may be less susceptible to winter storm or more. Usually the thing doesn't work as well as it did originally, but sometimes it works better. You just can't know until you've got details as to what the actual changes and modifications are going to be to reach that assessment. But indeed, the performance of the plant might actually, in some respects, be improved by these changes, and that's something that would emerge out of assessment of detailed designs for a couple of these options.
Right.
I think if I were to offer a specific recommendation, it is that one should not prematurely down-select between these options until you have enough information to make what would be a prudent and informed decision about what to do.
Comparison.
Yeah.
Yeah. To me, anything that's spanking new is going to be better than something that's 25 years old if it's performing the same function. Okay, but that doesn't necessarily allay our concerns. But new things are better for a number of reasons. For example, brand new control systems tend to be much more reliable and so on than older ones, and that sort of thing.
Good.
Yeah, but the problem is if you have a 20-year-old car, you wouldn't put a brand new turbocharger on an old engine.
We know that
the parts are already worn.
We know is a major engineering challenge.
Correct.
I might just mention quickly for the people that are expressed a bit disappointment that we weren't available in San Luis Obispo County, that this letter and the topic will be available for your comments at our October meeting, which will be in Avila Beach. So this will be part of the agenda packet.
For sure.
We will leave it up on our website, and we will entertain comments by anybody who was unable to attend or would like to address us in person.
That's Bob Raffi.
This is Rochelle Becker, but actually your report will already have been submitted by then.
Yeah, it's going to be submitted tomorrow.
It will be.
Bechtel report will include costs. They're working on that, and should be released in October.
Yes, but of course that's not our remit.
The report will be submitted. However, I believe it does address also that we are keeping open our conclusions to see how this develops in the future, as we do with our fact-finding reports as well.
Good. Okay. I'm opening anybody again else? The floor for public comment. The phone line is open. Do we have any additional members of the public that would like to comment on our report and the discussion? So, barring additional public comment.
Excuse me. This is Rochelle again. Just one last.
Pulled directly to you.
But
how about just linking it in your report or your cover letter?
Thank you.
The cover letter could mention that.
They can also, for those who are interested,
thank you.
Review the discussion that occurred at our public meeting and then give the website and link. Mm-hmm.
That's an excellent suggestion. That's just what the cover letter is there for. I said it doesn't have the technical content. It's supposed to have stuff like that. Good.
Okay. So.
And then we can just point to exactly how you get to it, right?
So at this point, I think it's time for us to move on to discuss the report from the perspective of the approval. Now, there are a couple of points that were raised during the public comment period In particular, one saying that we might, that we should probably try to make, provide better clarity as to what are the comments and what are the recommendations in the report. And I think that this is something that we can do without without changing the content significantly, but it might involve a modest amount of reorganization. So what I would like to do is to suggest that we have Furman, the report from the perspective of the actual content, mm-hmm. that we can go ahead and approve that report with the agreement that those modifications would be looked at.
Yeah, by the way, that's fine, but I have a problem, okay? They gave us a deadline of tomorrow close of business, all right?
Oh.
And we can't honor that. We can't honor that with my participation after sundown tonight. Because sundown tonight is the Jewish New Year, and I'm out of commission until sundown Saturday night. Okay? That's just the way it is. And therefore, two of you can vote on it, but I can't participate in it. It's just the way it is. All right?
So, by the way,
that was part of the issue with not being able to get the SLO. You don't mind my saying.
There have been occasions in the past where we have approved reports with the agreement that they were going to be
Right. We do our minutes every meeting on that basis.
Yeah, but I'm not arguing that. I'm also willing to say that the final version, if it goes to Per and Peter and they don't have a problem with it, that's 2 out of 3 anyway.
All right.
And it would prefer Dr. Bundes vote. So maybe I would go along with Mr. Chairman's suggestion. We'll go ask for a vote on this report with agreement that appropriate changes will be made.
Recommendations.
So I'm happy with that. But how about once they've got the final one, which is going to come from the consultants and council, that they run it by Per and Peter?
Mm-hmm.
I won't be able to, and you guys get. You know, that's 2 out of 3 anyway. And
the action has to be taken here at a public meeting. It can't be taken after.
So I think that we can delegate the responsibility, but that also I'm making a big presumption about the availability of Furman and or David to do this editorial work
in no time,
and so I'm opening.
Okay, this is Furman talking. Furman Wardell here. I can do this immediately after the meeting.
Okay,
and could even use our process to get the approvals that we need.
I was going to say, why don't we do it in the next 15 minutes right here?
No, I think what we can do is as we do with other reports, we can delegate this in good confidence that it will be executed properly and that we will be happy with the final report in that final form.
Subject to those revisions and the continuing committee's ability to revise its recommendations and our fact findings as well.
Right. And
an issue in progress, I should say, rather than a work.
So I've determined that Furman is willing to do this editorial work.
While Lennon is going to his wedding. Sorry, it's not your wedding.
Furman here. Let me be sure I understand the gist of the recommendation. Perhaps Bob Budnitz or Per could sort of outline what that recommendation sounds like.
Well, okay,
I'd be glad to finish it up and put it in.
So the key element of the recommendation was that it would be helpful for the report and for the SWRCB in particular if it was fairly explicit what our comments and what our recommendations within the report.
Well, I really thought it was findings and recommendations.
Findings and recommendations. So... And I think at least we should be able to.
I went through it and thought there were only two recommendations. One is we want to see more analysis, and the second is we want to see more detail, which will then lead to more analysis or support.
Correct. And actually, in my review, for example, I note that there's a couple of paragraphs stating Weeks' conclusions and recommendations in a section at the end that are just essentially carbon copies.
I'm looking at the report now, and there is the final section called
Final Section.
Summary of DCISD findings and conclusions.
Findings and conclusions.
There is a summary there.
Yes.
You know, okay, I'm beginning to realize that given the deadline being tomorrow, that if we had a few extra days, it would be practical, but for us to meet the deadline, it may not be practical for us to make these modifications.
And if the review committee is in doubt about any of our findings or recommendations, we hope that would be part of their response to us. And we have a public meeting in October if we need to consider any...
But we can do it before then.
Well, but
we'll do it on demand.
But remember, we have to take action about these things in a public meeting.
No, I understand, we'll do it on demand if we need to.
Let's try to address this then, given that it doesn't appear practical, given the very limited time we have in the tight... So in our cover letter, which Bob Rathy is going to make, we will also make this point that if there's any concerns, because the final Bechtel report, of course, should be updated and should have additional information of interest to the committee. So we'll be continuing our review going forward.
Yes, okay. That's what I meant. It's a continuing issue.
And in that case, then, that returns us back to the original agenda item, which is to approve the report subject to modification. We will not, I think it's probably not practical to try to modify the structure, but we will certainly.
Oh, wait, I have a practical approach. Having read the whole thing and found that there were only two recommendations, one is for more analysis and one is for more detailed design, maybe those two could be pulled out and said separately, just quoting what was above, unless you find a third one. And the findings are already summarized. The findings and conclusions. It's just the recommendations.
Where are summarized. The two recommendations?
Well, they're buried in two or three places. What, but they come down to, and you'd have to find them, and they come down to, we want more analysis, and we want more design detail. All right? I'll show you. Here it is. The penultimate bullet before DCIC follow-on activities in the findings and conclusions says, crucially, more analysis is needed.
It's page 11?
Yeah. It's the penultimate bullet. We need more design detail to support yet again more analysis. We need more analysis of what
which
we
is
got.
The last sentence of the last sentence, bullet.
The last bullet, right. Yes.
So okay, thank you.
So the last sentence in
yeah,
the,
you see, we want more analysis. We want more analysis of what we've...
The last sentence
right.
of the finding section, the third bullet, and then the last sentence in the fourth bullet.
You'll go through it and you'll find recommendations. It. You see... The point is, even without more detail, we want more analysis. And when we get more detail, we want yet again more analysis. I mean, you know, okay.
Okay.
Right.
And so I think somebody ought to go through the whole thing and see if there isn't another one, but I think that's what they
say. Well.
I mean, it's pretty clear.
Herman here. It's Tom Wardell here. It seems like those two are pretty clear.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, although maybe they
I'll
could.
I probably had a couple questions with recommendations.
Maybe the thing that could be done, they may be clear, but they're not highlighted. Should we underline those sentences?
No, I was going to suggest you might just say recommendations. You just quote them back.
Well, at minimum, underline them in
the
report.
At the bottom. Put them in bold or something.
This must be exciting for all of the members of the public who get to
I'm not excited by it.
I would suggest, just for ease of simplicity, is if there's any additionals that they, of course, be addressed, but maybe we just add to the summary of DC
and okay.
them into the recommendation section.
And just include recommendations in the title of that particular section.
And so that's the.
I think that would be a simple way to do it.
Because already the that section is titled conclusions, and so we just titled conclusions, recommendations.
We just add.
Yeah, I mean, what Rochelle Becker was asking for was something that would help the review committee to find these things rather than have to dig through the whole thing to find them, and I think that's a useful. Comment.
Why don't we? Because things which are findings tend to be underlined in this report.
Yeah, that's
why don't we?
That's my
we
style.
Do, right. Why don't we bold? Why don't we bold these sentences?
Bold those two.
Bold those sentences.
Why don't we let the
so out. That they can be distinguished as being the principal recommendations.
Okay.
So then, with subject to those editorial modifications.
Right.
I think we're at the point where we can take on the question of voting to approve or disapprove the report.
Okay, but just one other thing. You notice the follow-on activities. We didn't comment about those. They're pretty straightforward. That we assert here we tell the world what we're going to keep doing.
Mm-hmm. Yep, of course.
Right, and not controversial. That the DCISC approve this Exhibit A, which is an exhibit to a cover letter, and that together they be sent to the State Water Resources Control Board pronto.
I second.
Okay, so I have a motion and a second.
Yeah.
And the roll call vote, I will start with my vote. This is Per Peterson voting aye.
Darn, I wanted it to be in alphabetical order.
Right. Reverse alphabetical.
If you do reverse alphabetical order, you have to spell the names backwards, and I still win. Right?
Too late. I already voted.
So did I. Aye.
Dr. Lamb?
This is Peter Lamb. My vote is aye.
And Dr. Budnitz?
Aye.
The vote is unanimous.
Very good. Now, finally, on our agenda, we have a period now for public comment and communications related to topics not covered under this action item. Do we have any additional public comments either on the phone or here in the room? Hearing none, I would like to thank everybody for their patience and the effort needed to bring business. At this point,
we
can adjourn this public meeting of the Diablo Canyon Independent Safety Committee. Thank you, everyone, for joining.
Thank you.
And I want to thank the AGB people who are doing just such a wonderful job.
Indeed.
Fantastic.
John, thanks for coming.